Julie was here to have seen that inaugural showing of the video. Thank you all for coming today. I was telling Don about 8 months ago, the Lord gave me one word, the word power. And this is what has come out of it. For those of you who attended my talk last August, you might remember that I ended with, I can't wait to be with Jesus in heaven to learn my new name, one that represents what he sees in me, not what the world sees in me. In author John Burke's book called Imagine Heaven, which is about his study of over 1,000 people globally who had near-death experiences, he says the following, who defines you? This is such a critical question, but so few of us have really stopped to answer it. Who has the right to define who you are, what you're worth, what your purpose is, whether you succeed or fail? How you define your identity is ultra important. What you believe about yourself is what shapes all your decisions and actions. Most of us end up believing things about our identity that are not grounded in God's reality, who God created us to be, what God created us to do. We believe lies about our identity that the evils of this world inflict on us. We constantly worry about the opinion and approval of others. We experience intense anxiety when we're not succeeding or are not recognized for our accomplishments. We feel sick inside when the stock market drops or we don't get promoted. We find ourselves lowering our standards to new levels, then justifying it in order to prove our worth or get someone to love us. We feel the need to control our spouse or kids because our identity has somehow gotten wrapped up in what others think or do. When we base our worth or identity on what we do, or what was done to us, we will struggle with fear or failure, feel the need to prove ourselves, or manipulate others who get in the way of our success. We will become self-consumed. That's because God never created us to get our identity from what we do or what was done others did to us, but from who we are to God. God never intended you to base your identity on accomplishments or performing. No one knows what you were created to do and be except your Creator. Look what God says about your true identity. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is Isaiah 43, 6 to 7. God made you for himself, not to prove your glory, but to be his glory, his pride and joy, his beloved son or daughter. What he wants you to do is learn to be secure in his love, in who he made you to be, and from that place of security, you can do what he created you to do. So in the fifth grade in the Rochester City Schools, they had us take tests, and I guess someone somewhere thought I had some brains in my head, and so they put us in this class called Major Achievement Program, MAP class. And they shipped kids in from all over the city to attend my school. Well, in fifth grade, I was asking a lot of questions in math, because I didn't understand it, and my mother always taught us, ask questions. I guess I frustrated the teacher, who probably should have been retired by that time, and to the point that she said to me, what, are you stupid? I remember feeling devastated by that remark. And of course, I must be stupid, because I couldn't understand the problems. Math was never my strong point. No left brain. For so many years after that, even if I had major accomplishments, I thought it must be because the work was too easy, or my college wasn't an Ivy League school, so my degree didn't mean as much as others. I think I kept these feelings of inadequacy hidden pretty well, but compensated for them in other ways, like doing things so dishonoring to the Lord. I had to be good at something, right? So sadly, I overachieved in this area of my life. But as you saw in this brief video, and I'd like to thank Kinsley, Doug, Ange, Dawn, Ann, and Kathy for helping me out with it, God had a different plan for my life. When I think of Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose," oftentimes we don't see the good or end results from a difficult time in our life. But the Holy Spirit showed me one morning on my way home from the gym this scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:18 to 24. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Please hear this again. Because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the power and wisdom of God. So I praise God for allowing me to go through that trial of inadequacy, but because it is through his power that I was able to believe the truth about my Savior and the salvation he offered. It was through his power that he gave me the faith to believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I wouldn't trade all the doctorates in the world for that gift. Now, if anyone in here has a doctorate, God bless you. That was a lot of work. I'm not taking anything away from you. This is just for me. And not only did I receive that gift of salvation, but I received power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his disciples right before he ascended into heaven, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." But I say, "Lord, I don't have what it takes to talk to this person or help this person or have time for this person." You fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. I don't think we realize just how much power we have in Christ Jesus as daughters of the Most High God. But what does God's word say? Okay, I'm going to read you several scriptures, and I want you to bear with me because you will see how it all comes together with this message, but we're going to make it interactive, okay? I really need your help and support on this. When I say, "The Lord is my," you're going to shout out, "strength," okay? And when I say, "The Lord gives us what?" you're going to say, "power." Let's practice, okay? "The Lord is my strength." "The Lord gives us what?"
Power.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. The first verse, and I have used this one probably 1,000 times since I've been saved, Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Exodus 15:2, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Psalm 3:3, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. Psalm 18:32, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. Psalm 27:1 of David, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exalts and with my song I give thanks to him. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 118:14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Psalm 138:3, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Isaiah 12:2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. Isaiah 40:29, he gives what? Power. He gives power, thank you, to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Now, it's either Habakkuk or Habakkuk, whichever way you say it. 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, so here Paul has prayed, right? He has prayed that the Lord would take away an ailment of him. And this is what the Lord said to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And lastly, 2 Timothy 1:7-8, Paul says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us what? Power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the what? By the power of God. Ladies, with all this power, how can we not be emboldened for the Lord? In 1 Corinthians 1:4-7, Paul tells the believers, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech, with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. I always wanted to be an actress when I was young. My mother, I had a chance to be in the Rochester Community Players, and my mother wouldn't drive me, and she wouldn't let me take the bus. So, but I still wanted to be an actress, like Kinsley. She was giving it all she had, right, you know? So my plan, which is laughable, right, and I know God laughed at my plan, was I was going to work at Delco Products for 6 months. I was going to save $15,000. I was going to move to Santa Monica, California, and go to UCLA for free. Because believe it or not, in 1976, if you established residency, you could do that. My father, of course, flipped out and told me, you're going to end up on the director's casting couch. So, you know, there was all that support from mom and dad on my dream and passion. Then I met my first husband, and the rest was history. But now I'm able to use that gift that God gave me to bring him glory and honor through the opportunity of teaching women about God's precious word in his holy Bible. Do you remember that song? Oh, I wonder, wonder who, who wrote the book of love? Okay, so my gift is not singing, but I have the answer to that question. Oh, geez, Doug, I'm so sorry. Keep dropping. But I have the answer to that question. It's the Holy Bible, okay? God wrote a book. This is the book of love. Amen? But I digress. And you got to believe the power, right, the Lord just gave me that I was able to sing in front of y'all. This life is not a contest between you and anyone else. God gave you some gifts, and he gave the woman next to you other gifts. It's about using the gifts and abilities God has given you through the power of the Holy Spirit and your relationship with Christ. We are strong women, yes? But are we living up to our potential? And ladies, this message really was for me, and I hope somebody else can get something from it. But in Ephesians 1, 18 to 21, Paul says to the believers, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably, and that word incomparably is the Greek word hyperbalio, meaning to go beyond, all surpassing, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. We have this incredible power. It's the same power that God used when he brought Jesus back to life. That's what Paul says. You have the same power. I find that utterly amazing. But I think many of us either don't believe it or don't use it, particularly me. Look at some examples throughout the Bible of some ordinary people who accomplished amazing things through the power of God. 1 Samuel 17, there was a Philistine named Goliath who was 9 feet, 9 inches tall, and his armor alone weighed 125 pounds. We're told that whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. David, who was a mere shepherd, small in stature, David was a little guy, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And what does Saul say? You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Well, Lana, you can't do that. Liz, you don't have the ability to do that. You know, Lori, you know, forget about it. You're just not able to. You're not strong enough. Right? That's what we hear. So David says to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. It is the Lord Almighty that gave David the strength, agility, and marksmanship to hit Goliath square in the forehead with one small stone. Enough to kill him. Only our God could do that. How big is your God? 1 Samuel 25, a woman named Abigail was married to a fool of a man named Nabal. He turned down giving King David and his men food and drink, and David was going to kill him. So David takes 400 of his men with him and heads to Nabal's farm. A servant told Abigail about this, and she was filled with the wisdom of the Lord. Immediately, she took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, about 60 pounds of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys, and followed her servants to meet David. Only a woman could do this, right? Not only does she talk David out of seeking revenge by killing her husband and all his men, thereby preventing him from sinning, but when Nabal finds out the next morning, he drops dead of a heart attack, and King David takes her as his wife, and she goes to live with him in a palace. She was given great wisdom and strength to go against a king, right? Only our God could do that. How big is your God? In 1 Kings 18:44 to 46, there had been a drought for 3.5 years, causing a famine in the land, and now the prophet Elijah prays for rain. He has his servant go look out toward the sea to see if the rain clouds were coming. The 7th time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, the king, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Now that's about, you know, I looked it up, it's between 17 and 25 miles. And he got there before Ahab, who had horses and a chariot. Only God could do that. How big is your God? Luke 1, look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. Even as a teenager, she was obedient to the Lord, even when it meant she could lose everything as a divorced woman. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Total faith and obedience gave Mary the strength to be the mother of the Messiah, and after that, she was blessed with other children, as well as have the Apostle John care for her after the death and resurrection of Christ. How big is your God? Some of you have the gift of hospitality. Others have a servant's heart. Some are prayer warriors, and others have the physical strength to help others. Some have the heart of a missionary and go around the world sharing the good news of the gospel. My sister's a missionary. I'm going to cry now. Or do outreach here at home. Some of you have to put in a lot of hours at work, but God has given you the gift of his light in you, and others will see that. If your life is filled with raising kids, you come in contact with teachers and other parents, and the same thing applies. They will know there is something different about you. And the Lord will open doors for you to speak to others about him. Now, that might be scary, but when you're scared, just think of all these scriptures we just shared. And remember that you are filled with the power and wisdom of God. No matter what we went through growing up, our identity is in Christ Jesus. Only our God could do that. How big is your God? Ephesians 2:8-10 says, this is Paul writing again to the believers, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not works, so that no one can boast. We are God's handiwork, and the King James Version uses the word workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We don't get to heaven by doing good works. But God created us in Christ Jesus in advance to do good works. So if he wants us to do these good works, he has to give us the power to do them. And that word workmanship, it has the connotation of a work of art. You probably never thought of yourself as a work of art. But that's what God's word says, and we know he doesn't lie. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 1, 4-6, Paul writes, "For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." In John 15, 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." Think about that. Jesus chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Ladies, you are never alone. God is always near and will give you the power, strength, and wisdom to get through anything, accomplish anything, and complete everything in him. So I look forward to hearing your testimonies about how the Lord gave you the strength and power to achieve something that otherwise would never happen. Remember, iron sharpens iron, and it's good for us to build each other up with these testimonies. To that end, I'd like to call up my sister, Arcelia, and she's going to give you her testimony, and then we will end with two more worship songs.
Giving honor to our Lord and Savior. All my sisters assembled here today, I thank God for this opportunity to come before you and to share with you what I've been through and how the Lord has taken me through situations, through dangers seen and through dangers unseen. I was saved when I was 13 years old, and I came up in a religious household. I'm from New York City, born and raised, and I came over Rochester after having retired as a case manager in arbitration. When I came here to Rochester, I got a job as a verbatim hearing reporter in the court system, and I was doing quite well. Then the pandemic hit, and it threw me back. But I want to emphasize, I didn't come by myself. I came with my oldest child, my son, a pitcher, a football player, and that's him. He likes to. We came here together because I wanted a slower pace. I lost quite a few family members, and we came here. I left the daughter and the granddaughter behind because they were well-adjusted in New York. But when I got over here, like I said, I was doing very well. The pandemic hit and threw me back. During that time, I came down with cancer, the intermediate one. I had an operation. The cancer was quite big, but they got it, okay? I had chemo, and I had radiation, and God be the glory, okay? I'm a living witness, and I'm cancer-free, okay? I'm 74 years old and still running for my life. Sometimes it gets a little emotional, but bear with me, because I got a few minutes to say. When I came down with cancer, my son and I did everything we could to maintain, but it was very hard. The bills started piling up. We fell back in the rent. Services, DSS, jumped in to help, but they were a little slow. Okay, they got up the money. We put our share in. The landlord took the money, but then he would not renew the lease. So that threw us out. Okay. We had nowhere to go. We were in a town that we really didn't know a lot of people. And when it happened, we were left to live on the street. Okay. We stayed in the car. For 11 months, we were in the elements. 7 months, we were in the car, and 4 months, we stayed in hotels. We had money, but we didn't have enough. East Ridge Road became our neighborhood. Everybody from this church, from Wagman's, from Planet Fitness Gym, everybody saw us, and the love started to build up. And we did it, I don't know, I just know it was gone, okay? We slept in the car, okay? We dealt with the gym for washing up. Different churches started to see what was going on, and they started to give us food. And it was coming right and left, okay? I met Living Water, but I met Dan at first, Pastor Dan. He did a lot. That's how I got to know about all of it. And Bernie likes the food. He likes food anyway. So, I started going to Aldi. But then as the church started realizing that I was here, different ones started jumping in. Okay, Dawn, Barbara, Veronica, so many others. I can just point everyone out that they started giving us and looking back and helping. But we still was in the car. Okay, we slept in the car most of the time. One night, and I won't keep you long, but I just want to let you see the pattern, how the because after a while, we got to a point we accepted it, okay? We started singing in the car. We started reading the Bible, reading the scriptures. We did everything by way of the car. And one night, Vernon was sleeping in the back, and I covered the front because I felt the police wouldn't bother us as much because of a mother being in the front. So as I sat in the front, and I had dozed off, I got a knock at the car, and I opened my eyes. On the outside. One was a white man, one was a black man. And he said, Strickland. And I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to call police. And I said, I'm going. He said, no, I brought somebody with us. And so when I looked back, I saw the black man step forward. He had a jacket on and it said chaplain. And so he leaned over and he said, Strickland, I'm going to get you out of this car. And so the mere fact was that he said, next day, sure enough, his church did call, and things started to pick up. Arondacourt Police was in full connection with us, and they have still been in full connection with us. They are very close to us. The chaplain is very close. Maybe some of you all know him, but has been unbelievable, okay? As time started to move on, things started happening. Because you understand, I had cancer. So they could not believe, okay, how we were moving about and doing, okay? And the fact remains that everybody, I can't even tell you, they started getting involved. And I had a fantastic caseworker, and she started overly getting involved. Different agencies started getting involved. All of a sudden, a place came forward, okay? And when we went to see the place, we had a caravan of people. They thought everybody was coming to live there. And the fact remains that when we got there, I was the last one to walk in the door because I had turned a few down. I said, no. Okay? Because I don't have trouble. Those that know my son, I don't have trouble with him. And I want to emphasize before I finish, the only way that they was going to originally help us, my son and I had to be separated. And I didn't want to do that. So at that point, I said, forget it. So that's when scuffled through the way we did. So anyway, when we got, it was a place, okay, and that's what we have now. It was a two-bedroom, and I told the caseworker, you look at it like that there. I said, if you like it, I'll go with it. So then she called me up and said, Seal, you gotta come, like that. I said, all right. So like I said, a caravan of people started coming, okay, and it was unbelievable. And so I said, well, I'll go in last. So then I walked in, like, and then I looked up, and I looked to the kitchen, and I said, I'll take it. Like, So in the midst of all that, how I'm going to end this, to tell you, the Lord did not only give us the two bedrooms apart, He also gave me a job. And the fact remains, on the same day when everything was moving about, okay, and more offices are coming up, it was working for the school, okay, because my experience is pretty strong. And doors are being opened, people are aware of who I am. And I just want to give God all the honor and praise and say He is able. Exceedingly, because I want you to understand, we dug bullets, we stepped in between trucks, we did all kinds of things, and at the end, the heat in the car broke down, and I said to Vernon, whatever you got back there, put it on, and so we made it through. And calls were coming in from, even started coming in, New York was aware that we were running into trouble, and my daughter said, come back, and I want to emphasize that part, come back. And it was that week. I was going to go back, okay? It was that middle of the week. And then the Lord sent, toward the end, on that Wednesday, the Lord sent the two men to come to the car. And then everything started changing around. And I just want to give God all the honor and praise, because right now,